medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the manager of business applications at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
It's going. Context switching. That's the word of the week, word of the day, whatever. Have we covered that yet as a topic?
No, but we probably should, because I bet we all do it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill that I don't know. I think is maybe as you get more experience, I don't know if role, responsibility, whatever it is, your ability to focus on any one thing just diminishes because you're constantly switching context from high level to low level to whatever level all over the place. And I don't know, keeps things fun and exciting. We've got Code Cutoff coming up as we're trying to close up our Q4 release 26 coming at you at some point in time. Can't commit to when. We got that going on. And then we've still got a lot of folks, you know, we got done with Blueprint 4D and we had a lot of interest in recaps and people asking for us to, you know, give us a recap of the keynote and the roadmap and what happened at Blueprint for people that actually went and just wanted another shot at the content, as well as people that didn't go, that heard good things and wanted to hear more. So we've been spending a lot of time trying to package that up for folks and, you know, recast a little bit of that and distribute it so that everybody can, you know, benefit. But again, I mean, the real benefit is obviously coming to the actual conference itself and being able to see it live. And so, you know, this is a consolidated, more of a, I'd say, compressed version. But you know, and then before you know it, we got in focus now around the corner too. So the planning for that is obviously started. We've got to get the call for presentations is already closed. We're trying to finalize our session list. It's pretty hectic. I don't think any of these conferences necessarily happen at an ideal time, as we all know. You know, it's like on the heels of one, we do another. And in between, we're going to try to close out a release, which is pretty stressful, to be fair.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. How about you?
Well, I guess before we get to me, I just wanted to comment on the context shifting. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting, I feel like. Sometimes the end of the day, if I'm doing a lot of context shifting, I feel just drained.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the same for you, but for me, I feel like it's draining.
Well, I think it's exciting. It can be really invigorating and really rewarding. Because, I mean, you know, it's like there's never a dull moment. It's like from one thing onto the next, onto the next, onto the next. And being able to traverse multiple subjects at multiple levels, to me, is very, I like that. I mean, I truly enjoy that. But to your point, while it gets me excited and revs me up, it also drains my battery. And so, yeah, by the end of the day, I'm done, right? And if that goes on too long, I don't think it's something that is necessarily sustainable, you know, something that you can just do every single day, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. It depletes you just too much. I don't know what you think.
I agree. It totally does. Yep. It is the same thing. You do get excited because it's different ideas and different topics. And I couldn't be on one thing all day long every day. I think that would probably drive me a little batty. But again, those days where it's multiple days and you're just constantly context shifting and you're hopping in different meetings on different topics, you get to the end of the day and A, you don't feel like you got anything accomplished. And B, you're just tired from thinking about so many different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's techniques out there, right? There's probably advice, you know, maybe we could dig into that as an episode in the near future.
That's a good idea.
What are some of the different ways in which you manage that, whatever you want to call it, phenomenon or that demand or whatever it happens to be?
I like it.
Anyway, cool.
The other thing that you mentioned, the Blueprint 4D content, I believe I did get an email notification this week from Quest that the Blueprint content is out on their site now. So before you could get to some of it through the app, the slides and whatever. But now I believe it is out on the website. So
nice.
People should head on out and log on in and get the information that they're looking for out there.
Yeah. I mean, one of the cool things Quest did this time around too, and if they did it in the past, I missed it and I apologize, but this might be new. I feel like it is. They actually created some really good blogs for all the keynotes. So if you wanted a summary, kind of a recap of what Gary and I covered in blog format, Nicole and the team there at Quest did a really good job of capturing what Gary and I, the messaging that we had and the energy and, you know, some of the key points. And then I saw there was one for, of course, the ERP cloud keynote that Gary did. And again, it was very well written, very articulate, and just a compliment to the Quest team for doing that. Those aren't behind any sort of paywall or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They are open to the public. And I think it's definitely worthwhile to go out there and check those things out. Not everybody can make it to these conferences, but there's a lot of good content generated from them, and those blogs help summarize it. So go check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in terms of how are things going, the home renovation projects or home improvement projects, mm-hmm. home deferred maintenance projects, I don't know, whatever you want to call them. They are proceeding. Had a little surprise this weekend.
Another one?
I know, another surprise. Yeah, so I was hanging some artwork in one of my rooms, actually in my primary bedroom. And, you know, I had the bed pulled away from the wall and was going to clean and noticed that the trim was pulling away from the wall, which I thought was a little bit different. I'm like, okay, well, then I decided, you know, since I had the furniture all moved around, I'd, you know, grab the vacuum and clean all the baseboards as one does.
Of course.
Yeah, when you're me. I was underneath, I have a desk in my primary bedroom as well. And I was crawling around underneath the desk and I'm like, that paint looks flaking. That's not a good sign. So I got out my trusted moisture meter. Yes, I own a moisture meter. I'm one of those people.
That's a very short list of... never mind. I'm just not going to go there. All right. Not all of us have a moisture meter. But anyway.
I grew up watching This Old House. So let me just say, which is funny because that came up in the SIG Coffee and Connect today. But anyway, and sure enough, I had 100% reading on my drywall underneath my window. Yeah. So I was like, oh.
Well, you know, when it's raining, you're not supposed to keep the window open. I mean, that's.
Oh, thanks for that pointer. Really? Okay. So anyway, when they painted my house, as we were walking around the house, I noticed that there was a crack outside in the windowsill and it was a little big. And so they're like, oh, well, we can fix that for you. Not a big deal. So they repaired the stucco out there. Well, turns out probably the water had been coming in through that crack. And obviously, who knows how long it was there. I never opened the window, the blinds. I never lift them and like look down. Obviously, I will going forward just to make sure. And I evidently haven't done a visual inspection out in the backside of my house in a while.
Wow.
Note to self, I should do that. So the crack, I don't know how long it's been there, but clearly water has gotten in. So yeah, I called up my contractor and said, hey, I got some moisture issues inside.
Yeah,
I got another project
for you.
Yeah. Oh, so he came over, he tore it out. Good thing is there was a little bit of mold, but it wasn't black mold. And he's working on, you know, pulled off all the sheetrock and dried it all out, sprayed down. He'll be spraying down the floor and everything since they're working in there, but it's all even zippered off. It's kind of funny.
It's the ET set. I don't know if you remember ET with his zip. All right. So they just quarantined you. Okay.
Yeah.
There was another movie called The Money Pit. I don't know if you ever saw that one with Tom Hanks.
I did. Yeah. And that's funny because I actually think I referred to my house that way the other day. Right now it is feeling like a money pit. But oh well, at least this one isn't as expensive as the surprise on my patio where I need to have the whole concrete pad replaced. And
Flair, this will just, you're just going to get nickel and dimed from here on out. So
exactly. So we're done. Nothing else. I'm not looking at anything. I'm not doing anything in my house for quite some time.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. What else you been working on? I mean, from a work perspective.
I am building an orchestration. It is my first. I'm so proud.
Wow.
I really am.
I got to talk to AJ about those guardrails. We were supposed to, I mean, this is, you know, there is a minimum technical requirement, isn't there?
Well, I'm trying to just bust right through that.
Apparently. Well, I guess this will be a test of our resources, huh?
Yes, it will be a test of a number of things, actually. And of course, you know, I actually was sharing my orchestration with somebody the other day, and their comment was, wow, you didn't start with a small one. Good grief. I'm like, yeah, you know, if you're going to go, just go big. That's just how I roll.
Just dive into the deep end right away. What the heck?
Yeah. It's all good. Sweet. Yeah. So it's been very much a learning experience for me. Mm. And I actually wanted to kind of bring up that topic since obviously this is fresh in my mind, being that I've been working on it for couple days trying to troubleshoot some stuff in it. Mm. I got bits and pieces of it working really well, but one piece is not working the way I want it to. So
okay.
I'm working on troubleshooting that. But I saw a post on LinkedIn today. The post says, seeking comprehensive resources on JD Edwards Orchestrator. This was by Sonia Lovely, this post. And she says, hi, everyone. I'm currently exploring JD Edwards Orchestrator and I'm looking for a complete detailed guide or any authoritative material that covers everything from foundational concepts to advanced usage, whether it's official documentation, step-by-step tutorials, video courses, or in-depth articles. I'd really appreciate any recommendations that provide thorough insights and practical knowledge. Thank you so much in advance for your support and guidance. I saw that post and I'm like, wow, totally timely for me.
Oh, yeah,
so,
for sure.
And then somebody else actually commented that they were looking for the same. So obviously, you know, Orchestrator has been around 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. But there's some of us that are just, there's actually quite a few of us that are probably not even scratched the surface on it. Or maybe they've done something basic like a process recorder where you actually record the step-by-step that you do when you're actually in the application itself, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So maybe you've done something like that, but you want to get into something more advanced. Where do you go? What do you do?
Well, so it sounds like some of you have been stuck running JD Edwards like 2005 versus 2025, but I'm just saying.
Well, maybe we're trying to get to 2025 now. So don't knock it. We're trying, Paul.
I know. And that's the thing is that, I mean, one of the things we continually do at these conferences is focus on kind of the latest and greatest, you know, almost assuming that everybody's keeping up. But the reality is most are still catching up, right? And, you know, there's value in repeating topics at various levels. I know we do an Orchestrator 101 course actually fairly consistently at the conferences. You'll probably see one at In Focus coming up in September 9th through the 11th, by the way. So, you know, we'll probably have the product team there in Denver give you kind of a tips and tricks and introduction to Orchestrator. So that'll be a good resource. But, you know, that sounds like I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there in the community that could speak with authority about where to go and what to do. But AJ Schifano, who's, of course, the product manager for the digital platform, is probably a pretty good resource. So I might have to ping him on that and ask for his recommendation.
Well, yeah. And maybe that's a future episode as well, is let's do some Orchestrator training, maybe mm-hmm. through the podcast. I know we don't share screens, but I think we can still talk through and explain some of the basics for sure. When you're getting into advanced troubleshooting and whatever, and I think it is sometimes easier to see it in front of you, but I think we can do some of the basic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why we couldn't explain like the anatomy of an orchestration and the various, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. pieces, parts that you can use and, you know, what their purpose
and how,
is.
And when.
And how and when to use them. And then also, you know, maybe even some of the gotchas, if we know them, things that people will struggle with here and there while we try to make everything as intuitive as possible. And I'm sure AJ's going, what? Like struggle? I mean, anybody can do this. I mean, even somebody that got a B in Fortran back in 1984. Anyway, I move on. But yeah, I think that would be a good episode. And, you know, maybe we get some folks on that have good experience with OrchestraTrader right. to help us with that.
In Focus 2025 is coming, and you're invited to the JD Edwards Event of the Year. Join the JDE community, Oracle product teams, and industry experts in Denver, Colorado, Tuesday, September 9th through Thursday, September 11th, for 3 powerful days of learning, networking, and innovation. Save extra when you register a group of 4 or more. Dive deep into key topics like Release 25 and 26, Orchestrator, AI, Automation, UX1, and more. All designed to help you get the most from your JD Edwards investment. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus to learn more and register. That's questoraclecommunity.org/infocus. We hope to see you in Denver.
So this person asked for resources. And of course, this is top of mind for you because you're right in there. Was there a response? Has there been resources? Sure.
Yes. So Andrew Ustick, who we've had on as a guest before, said he has personally had great results in teaching himself by using Oracle documentation and their OBEs, Oracle by example. For a guided approach, he knows many people have had advanced their orchestrator knowledge with training facilitated through several solution providers. So, you know, our third-party vendor community, there's several of them that offer orchestrator training. And I'm sure if you want to find out who offers that, a quick web search or maybe a chat search, or going into LinkedIn and even just searching for orchestrator training, JD Edwards orchestrator training will probably fire up some good results on the third-party vendors that offer that. My comment back to Andrew was most of my learning has been reading and banging my head against the wall, then calling you when I can't figure it out.
Ouch. Jeez.
So hopefully Andrew got a chuckle. Well, at least that was his response, was a laugh. So I'm guessing he got a chuckle out of it.
Very cool. So, very cool.
But then AJ actually commented and said, welcome to the orchestrator community. I think you will find a wealth of resources and a very supportive community. Andrew's references to the orchestrator training are all tried and true with many successful alumni. But there are other resources such as the orchestrator enthusiast group here on LinkedIn. My comment back to AJ on that was, how did I not know about this? Seriously.
Wow.
I joined, though, just so y'all know. I did join.
Okay.
And then there's an orchestrator content center on the Quest Oracle Community User Group site. And then there's an orchestrator page on LearnJDE.
Yeah, I was curious. I think, you know, we've invested quite a bit, to Andrew's point, in creating OBEs and Oracle by examples, tutorials, and capturing documentation that we think would be beneficial. So, you know, LearnJDE is obviously the one-stop shop for everything. And I'm guessing if you go out there, you'll find probably various levels of documentation. That's what I expect, from getting started to actual implementation. We also, several years ago, started a use case page where we kind of encouraged the community to share specific business problems that they were solving using Orchestrator, even going so far as to sharing some of the approaches that they used. And that's our way of trying to crowdsource ideas, right, around where you can actually apply this, because it's not always intuitive. Some of it is, some of it isn't, but that's the whole thing. This community is all about sharing. And so when you share that experience and you share that idea, it might pop a similar idea or a similar application somewhere else for somebody else. And so you not only will get the understanding of what it is, you'll get a little bit of the how-to out there. And then, of course, you'll get some of the practical application, which is nice.
The other resource that I'm going to plug is the TechSig Coffee and Connects. that happen. Talk about ideas, because people will come on and they'll have a question maybe on something that they're working on. And it's one of those, oh, I didn't think of doing that. There was one that was presented today, and one of my developers was on the TechSig call as well. So I sent him a Teams chat. I'm like, wait, could we do that? I'm like, I feel like we could do that to replace an automate task that we have. Yeah. And he's like, we might be able to. I'm like, all right, let's talk about it. Yep. So like you said, those ideas spur other ideas.
Other ideas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We reference our other episodes. I think there's value in that, right? We don't know when people start listening to us and which episode they start with and, you know, if they've gone in the past. So for those that maybe have heard this already, you know, sometimes maybe we should apologize. But Shannon Allred, you know, in that episode that we had with her, she had some great advice for how you get business buy-in and you demand gen, you dangle carrots out there by showing what's possible and you get other departments wanting the capabilities of other departments, right? And so to your point about these ideas, you want to share them, you want to capture them. Don't assume that just because it's in a logical or a topic area that maybe you're not interested in, or maybe you don't even use that module, but the concept, the idea itself, like what's actually happening may be the same, right? As something that you're trying to accomplish in a different module. So be open to that. Listen to that. Go back to her, the episode that we had with her, and listen to some of the ways in which she engages the business, because that's how you're going to get the door open to be able to leverage some of this stuff, right? That's pretty cool. So
yes, by the way, for those listening that want to go back and listen to that, that was episode 27 and 28.
Ah, there you go. Thank you. All right. Well, I mean, your experience so far. So we got some resources that we just shared. And I think, you know, a lot of people have questions about Orchestrator. And so hopefully, you know, this helps. And we'll include those links to those different resources that we just mentioned in the show notes. Hopefully we remember to do that. And hopefully that's beneficial. But how's your Orchestrator coming along? You said you got a step that you're troubleshooting, but overall, good experience, bad experience?
It's been fun. Actually,
okay.
I mean, it's new, it's different, right? So it's challenging, but it's a fun challenge. And in my book, I want to master this. I want to figure it out. And what I've designed actually might be, how do I say it? A bit much, just because I might have SOD issues with it.
Oh.
Actually, I know I have SOD issues with it, but that doesn't mean that IT can't perform the function as long as it's gone through change control and approvals have been gathered from the business that we can do it, but the business can't do it. Mm-hmm. So that is an option. But what I will do is break it apart so that different individuals can do different parts of it, as it should be, right? But I want to get it working in full just to know that I can. It's kind of a challenge for me. So yeah, I am struggling with one part of it and trying to understand. The other thing that I learned or am learning is on rules specifically and having blank values. So once I get a better understanding of it myself, where I can actually talk intelligently about it as opposed to fumbling my way through it, when I get this orchestration done, how's that?
Yeah,
hopefully maybe by next week episode, we can talk more about it.
Well, maybe we can walk through it and just, you know, some of the things that you learned, like high level, what it does, why there's SOD issues. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that maybe you struggled with that you figured out along the way? What resources did you use and whatnot? You know, I know we talked about LearnJDE. We talked about LinkedIn. You mentioned Coffee and Connect. Did anybody mention the Orchestrator page on Quest? The Quest Oracle community has all the Orchestrator content on a pretty well organized as well. So
yes, the content center, the Orchestrator content center on Quest. Uh-huh. Yeah. AJ did mention that one in that LinkedIn post. Okay. So that's out there. And I need to go out there as well and check that one out, quite frankly. And even another resource for people is the TechSig group.
Yes, of course.
On Quest, because they are super responsive. They are an amazing group of individuals that really supports the community And that's, it never ceases to amaze me when I sit in on those calls, how supportive and how willing they are to help answer questions.
So. Yeah. They don't hide what they know. I mean, that, you know, they don't keep things close to the vest, so to speak. And, you know, it's not about who's the smartest person in the room. It's, I mean, this community really does enjoy sharing, and it's just incredible. And it is super invigorating because all these ideas, all these things that you never would have thought of start coming across, right? You start hearing about them, and it gets you excited because it's like, I never would have thought to do that. And now you have no shortage of ideas for what you're going to go off and look for and what you're going to go attack, which is maybe a different problem.
Might be,
because with all your spare time now, you know, in between home improvement projects, you'll be able to, you know, look these things up. But I will mention one more, just, you know, more as a joke, because hey, guess what, we like to laugh. I mean, when all else fails, the LMGTFY method is always a good one. I think my friend, Hari Kanardi, happy 50th birthday, Hari. Sorry if you didn't want people to know that, but sorry, I didn't make the party the other day. But anyway, happy 50th. He coined that one, LMGTFY. So let me Google that for you. So is what that stands for. And I don't think that was one of our acronyms, but we'll have to add it to the list now. And to JDE lingo bingo, we'll have to add that. But Google is still good. It's amazing what you can find if you give it the right context. There's a lot of good information out there. And I think, you know, our ability to search and find what we need will continue to improve.
That's awesome. I love it.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we covered quite a few resources. Hopefully that was helpful. Yeah. And we'll break down your orchestration in an episode coming up. What's our Midwesternism today?
Well, it's an exclamation of surprise. I'll tell you that. We're staying with the colloquialisms. So, it is rainy season here in Southwest Florida, which means it gets really stinking hot and humid, and then the atmosphere decides to release itself in the form of rain and usually a thunderstorm. Usually it happens kind of late in the afternoon, if it's a normal cycle, I should say. Mm-hmm. A normal, there's no tropical storms or systems nearby that sometimes disrupt that cycle. So today I was actually on the TechSig call, and I think I even had my video on. So people may have seen this. I'm not sure. Or the TechSig, sorry, the Coffee and Connect, not their usual call, the Coffee and Connect call today. So I'm on the call, and I swear that there was a lightning bolt right outside my window, right outside. Wow. It scared the living bejesus out of me. And I think the words that came out were, heavens to Betsy, which was like, you know, trying to keep it clean because I knew I was on camera. So people could probably read my lips. I legit jumped. And my dog, who is not bothered by storms ever, she actually jumped off the couch.
Wow.
She got up, jumped off, came over, was like, Mom, what was that? Wow. So, and the boom that followed rocked the house. So maybe I am going to need more home improvements because my house got rocked around a little. And then, of course, I had a little brownout, a little power surge. Yep. Actually had two of those this afternoon. So, jeez. Yeah.
Wow. So heavens to Betsy. I don't think I've heard that. I think I might have heard my grandmother say that. I'm not sure I've heard that in a really, really long time. Wow.
Yep. Evans and Betsy. Good one.
That is a good one.
I know. All right. Right?
Well, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, go ahead and contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time. Let's keep learning and, of course, sharing and, most importantly, laughing together. Toodles.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection. JD Edwards.